And welcome back to Access Cleveland. Now, we want you to live a better lifestyle in 2013. And the best way to do that is to make sure that you're taking proper care of yourself. Now, with us today is author of the book, Could It Be B12, An Epidemic of Misdiagnoses? She's registered nurse, Sally Pachalik, and she's going to tell us all the great benefits of vitamin B12. How are you today, Sally?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing so good. Thank you so much for taking out the time and speaking with us today. And my first question that I have for you, what are the signs and symptoms of a B12 deficiency? And how would someone know that they have a B12 deficiency?
Well, a B12 deficiency causes neurologic signs and symptoms, which could be paresthesias, foggy thinking, dizziness, tremor, problems walking, restless legs. People can get psychiatric symptoms, which are depression, suicidal ideation, psychosis.
Mm.
Or you can get blood changes, where people get anemic, makes them feel weak, tired, short of breath.
Okay, so what causes a B12 deficiency?
Well, three areas: malabsorption, a genetic defect, or a diet. B12 is only found in animal products, so vegans and vegetarians are at higher risk of getting a B12 deficiency over time if they don't supplement B12 in their diet.
So why is it that a B12 deficiency is so often misdiagnosed, do you think?
Well, there's a knowledge deficit in the medical community and the healthcare community. We are not actively screening for B12 deficiency. So therefore, if doctors aren't screening for it, they're going to overlook it. And B12 deficiency shares many of the same signs and symptoms of other disorders, such as dementia, regular depression, that people put patients on antidepressants, any kind of mental illness. People who have neuropathy, like, say, for diabetes,
right,
that is a sign and symptom of B12 deficiency. So they oftentimes get tunnel vision. They're giving other pharmaceuticals, other drugs. They're oftentimes expensive and can be dangerous with side effects when it really is a B12 deficiency. Why that is inappropriate and can cause great problems is because if you allow a B12 deficiency to continue, you can actually cause permanent nerve damage where the myelin, this fatty protective covering that covers all of our nerves and the brain, mm-hmm. and it transmits nerve impulses, will be gradually destroyed, and you can end up with permanent damage, which can also lead to a person being permanently paralyzed where they cannot use their legs, ending up in a wheelchair.
Oh, my goodness.
So people don't realize B12, yeah, it's a vitamin, it's good for your health, but it's also a true medical disorder if you are deficient.
Right. So what are some ways that someone can increase their B12 levels?
Well, to increase your B12 levels, you have to eat foods that have B12 in it. But the problem is people are taking enough B12, and even on a multivitamin, it has the daily recommended allowance. If you have a deficiency, that's not going to be enough. And even if you ate foods that are high in B12, such as liver, mm-hmm. clams, oysters, say a steak every day, people go, wow, I'm having enough B12. No, the number one reason of the three categories is malabsorption. People are taking enough in if their bodies can't utilize it. And if your body's not utilizing, it's going in but going out. It's not doing anything.
Right, right.
That's how people get deficient. So the causes are anybody who has a stomach issue or problem, small intestine, liver, and pancreas. That is really the big areas where we get the malabsorption, because you need stomach acid and a protein that's released in the parietal cell of the stomach called intrinsic factor. Those are the first two steps to absorb it. Then we have these receptors in the small intestine that have to transfer B12 in the body. So people who have Crohn's disease, mm-hmm. celiac disease, mm-hmm. bacterial overgrowth of the small bowel, chronic pancreatitis, diabetics are higher at risk. So there's many reasons. Certain drugs can impede B12 absorption. This is why it is such a high incidence. And in the medical literature, they report approximately 48 million Americans, or 16% of the U.S. population, has a low B12 or B12 deficiency. That
wow.
is alarming.
Yes.
And B12 is very cheap to treat.
In your opinion, is there a one that's better than the other as far as taking a B12 injection or taking the vitamin orally?
Well, if you're going to choose the oral route, like say if you don't want to do injections, and a lot of people can go the other route, is you can use a B12 underneath the tongue,
mm-hmm.
and it's like a microlingual underneath the tongue for quick absorption. It's bypassing the GI tract. And, you know, there's so many companies that are out there. A lot of them put binders and fillers, and many of them are oral that you swallow. I don't recommend oral ones swallowing. The ones under the tongue, high dose, at least 2,000 micrograms sublingual. There are some companies that are reputable. And then injectable, I use the hydroxycobalamin is a certain form that's well absorbed and transferred into the body. So that injection or underneath the tongue, microlingual.
Okay. Now, are some forms of the vitamin better than others?
Methyl B12 is the active. Methyl and adenosyl. When we take B12 in from animal products, from food, or if we take, say, supplements, and typically they put cyanocobalamin and certain injections have cyanocobalamin, our body has to actually transfer it to the active forms, which is methyl and adenosyl. So there are B12 out there. There's a good product, Microlingual, from Superior Source. It has a methyl B12 underneath the tongue, 2,000 micrograms. They even have one that has both of them, mm-hmm. methyl and adenosyl. So, yes, if you're going to choose a B12 under the tongue, you would use the methyl B12.
Got you. Now let's talk about your book. Once again, it's called Could It Be B12, An Epidemic of Misdiagnoses. Talk about your book and what the message is of this book here.
Well, the first edition of our book was in 2005, and the second edition was in 2011, because things are often, you know, over-changing in time. We have to update the literature. The book is really to re-educate the medical and healthcare community, as well as educating the public. It's easy to read. We have over 300 medical references backing up what we're saying. I actually have one form of B12 deficiency. I've been studying this disorder for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
I am a registered nurse that works in the emergency department, and we are seeing patients coming in with numerous signs and symptoms. I'm finally getting ER physicians to test these patients, and we are finding B12 deficiency, which tells us that that patient's primary care doctor or other specialist failed to recognize the signs and symptoms of B12 deficiency. So we're trying to get a B12 Awareness Month in America, because we are injuring millions of Americans and wasting billions of healthcare dollars. When you compare the cost of B12 treatment versus antidepressants, anti-dementia drugs, neuropathy drugs, restless leg syndrome drugs, it's crazy. Plus, if it is a B12 deficiency, you run the risk of creating permanent damage to that patient, which can then lead to nursing home care. And what we didn't discuss, B12 deficiency is very common in people over the age of 60. It can strike any age, even infants. But over 60, it's kind of like ageism. The normal signs and symptoms of aging are the exact same signs and symptoms of B12 deficiency.
Mm.
And it causes older adults to fall. Why? It causes neuropathy, balance problems, difficulty walking, forgetfulness, falling, syncope, which is fainting.
Mm-hmm.
So we are seeing a lot of patients that come in. Any elder who has a hip fracture from a fall, we test them. And this is what everybody, every hospital, every physician should be doing across America.
Absolutely. So tell our listeners how they can get your book, and also, is there a website that they can visit for more information?
Yes, the book can be available anywhere through the publisher, through Amazon.com. You can probably even get it in a library. It's the second edition. We have an awareness site called B12, so B12awareness.org. And in fact, the second edition of the book, a woman that worked for PBS National Geographic did a documentary on the book, and she actually went around and interviewed injured patients. And there's a 51-minute documentary on our website. It's also on YouTube, but the link is so long that they can quickly get it on the first page. And you'll actually be able to see what a B12 deficiency can do to a patient.
Okay. Wow, that's great information. And once again, author and registered nurse, Sally Pachalik, I want to thank you so much for taking out the time and educating us all on the vitamin B12 and what we can do to make sure that we're healthy going forward. Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Oh, no problem.